You'll make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Get It Right, Texoma, with the Texoma Trio. Mike Hendren, Terry McAdams, Trey Sorala. A pleasure to have you join us again. Yes. Welcome back.
Wow, you went into like, you know, Dracula mode there. No, it's a pleasure to join you.
Welcome to the blood bank. So I have no idea where that came from.
I don't either.
No idea, y'all.
You're highly paid professional.
Well, we talked about Vladimir Putin on the last one, so he was doing the Vladimir Dracula.
Yes. Well, I was saying there are two Vladimirs, you know.
My Vladi impersonation. Yeah. Oh, I have to sharpen my incisors.
Well, welcome to our show.
Yes, welcome back. Yes.
The listeners and viewers.
Viewers, yes.
We're going to have an audio part that you'll be able to get on, and get on to your chosen audio podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of them. It'll be out there. Google.
So basically, when you're searching for Rogan, just hit us up at the same time. We're on the same thing.
Exactly.
Does that make us famous? I mean, is on the same podcast as Rogan?
Yes. We can tag on to that. So.
I mean, personally, I think, you know, with the hat and all.
Right.
So anyway, and for those of you that are listening and you can't see me, I'm actually wearing a like cowboy hat today. Yes. So.
He's got his outlaw stance.
I got my outlaw stance. Yes.
Yeah. Well, we got some things going on. Backdoor Theater, their improv troupe, is having their first show. It's going to be the second of March.
March.
Yep. And then the next show performance for Backdoor Theater is in April 26th through May the 11th. Backdoor Theater is a local theater. It's a nonprofit. It's run by donations and that sort of thing. There's very few paid employees.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of good culture that comes out. And they've been around for a long time. So if you get a chance to go and you want to see some local talent, mm-hmm. Recommend going to that. Improv is a blast. I was part of the improv troupe for a long time. I haven't done improv for a while. I got to get back into it. Really enjoy it. It is rated R. So
yes.
If you're
offended by cuss words,
yeah, you might hear a word that rhymes with duck.
Yes.
But it's basically like Whose Line Is It Anyway? But it's live, and there's no pre-prep. Trust me. There's no pre-prep, I know for a fact, because I've done it. I've been on stage, and you go and you rehearse, but all you're rehearsing is you're rehearsing the listening part.
Well, yeah, you're flexing your muscle.
Exactly.
Your mental muscle about what's funny, what's not, you're drawing from an experience base,
right? Exactly, you're
right. That's why y'all practice.
But that's why you rehearse, but you don't know exactly what's going to be asked or any of that sort of thing. So,
yeah. Right. And I want to add something to that the Backdoor Theater is partnering with the Wichita Theater on an initiative to kind of get the arts in Wichita Falls promoted, because obviously those are the two. There may be others.
Two live theaters. I think there's only two live theaters.
Yeah. Right. So they've come together. Yes. Now there's more to it, and I don't know all this. It's something that because I'd gone to a dinner theater, and Dwayne Jackson is behind all the Wichita mm-hmm. Theater. Mm-hmm. I know Jessica Wood is mm-hmm. also working together.
She's executive director. Backdoor Theater.
Right, and mm-hmm. so they've gotten together and they've got a promotion. I don't know the exact name of it, just something to keep in mind and to promote the arts here in Wichita Falls, because they do have different, slightly different focuses. They're not really in direct competition necessarily.
Well, Backdoor Theater is community-based and it's a nonprofit, whereas Wichita Theater
he's nonprofit now.
Oh, is he?
I believe so.
I thought they were for profit.
Subject to correction, but he switched from that because that was something that they were so focused on. And that's why, yeah, he's a nonprofit, I believe.
Okay.
So I'll confirm that here on the
Wayback Machine there.
Yes.
Well, speaking of other friends of our show, you talk about Jessica as a friend of our show. Jenica Lambert is the executive director of Riverbend Nature Center, and they're going to have their spring break camps March 11th through the 15th, which is spring break for Wichita Falls and the WFISD and I think local communities, from 8:30 to noon. The cost is $80 per child and $70 per child if you're a Riverbend Nature Center member. And sign up. You need to sign up soon because these things go fast. There's just a lot of people.
Is it just me or does spring break get earlier and earlier in the spring all the time?
No, it's usually the second week of or third week of May.
Okay.
Oh, anyhow.
All right. Well, because I do know that April 10th, 1979, that day.
Yes.
The schools in Wichita Falls were on spring break that week.
Yes.
Which is why there was no one in the building at McNeil Junior High School.
Yes.
When it got calypsoed by a tornado.
It was also after hours. Are you sure that it was spring break?
I'm pretty sure it was spring. I think we were on spring break that week.
I always thought it was March. I thought we were always in spring break in March.
I don't know. I don't know.
We'll have to check that. I do know that it was later than it would. There wouldn't be anybody there anyhow because it was like 5 o'clock.
Well, it was. Yeah, it was six like 6:05.
So that's what I mean. It was later in the day.
So you know, it could have been. You know, I think sometimes you could have like a janitorial staff or some maintenance staff or
right,
someone might be around late,
but
no students. Yeah, students would have been long gone.
And most staff members would have.
And I do not remember being in school that day.
I don't remember.
That
was a long time ago. Of course, we're talking about you and I were 8 years old.
Yeah.
So that was a long time ago.
Long time ago. Anyway, Red River Wine and Beer Festival. Uh-huh. We talked about it yet?
Not yet.
Okay. All right, that's coming up at the Bridwell, the J.S. Bridwell Ag Center, which is part of the Multipurpose Event Center, or the MPEC, here in Wichita Falls. Saturday, that's right now. Next month. Good Lord. I got to get more sleep, more vitamins. I got to start drinking more or something. March 23rd.
More vodka?
Tickets $40
each.
Like
our vice president.
Yeah. At the senior junior, you can get them from any senior junior forum member, or appropriately enough, at Cox Liquor Store on Camp Street.
There you go.
They're probably easier than going knocking on people's doors.
Yeah,
hey, you got any tickets?
Yeah, yeah.
You might get shot.
You got any more of them discount beer and wine tickets?
But it's really cool. If you've ever been, if you got either one, of you guys
I think
ever
I've been?
Been?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a neat thing. I mean, yeah. I don't drink. I don't drink alcohol at all. But I do. I like the process. I think it's really neat and interesting, and so it's a cool place to go.
It is.
And let me tell you, you talk about seeing it. It's almost like going to the Pancake Festival, the Kiwanis Club Pancake Festival. You see everybody.
You see a lot.
You can't walk 10 feet without bumping into somebody you know.
I know. Well, I have that problem at the grocery store.
Oh yeah, yep.
You know, seriously,
that used to be the joke at my kids and my wife and my kids my wife told my kids, you know, you can't do get away with anything. Your dad knows everybody in Wichita Falls. Yeah.
And by the way, I've confirmed the Wichita Theater is a nonprofit.
Okay.
Multiple sources.
So when did it must have changed at some point at one time
you're right. Yeah. That's what I remembered was that Dwayne was looking at it and he's like, man, this is. So he changed focus, and so he got went nonprofit with it. And
I remember as a child, I remember being in that theater when it was still a movie theater, and it was the last downtown movie theater. We had several at one time. We had the Star, we had the Strand, we had the State Theater, we had the Wichita Theater, and I think there might have been one more. And they're all gone now. Except Wichita Theater. In fact, it may be the only structure that survived.
Yeah, I don't know where those other ones are.
They were scattered around downtown in three or four different places. But Wichita Theater, I think, is the only surviving original theater structure. But they were a movie theater until 1980. Yep. I think Airplane was the last film that was screened there.
I saw one movie there. What movie did you see?
The Shootist.
I saw Star Trek, the movie there.
Yeah. And I know The Shootist was the first what I will call a grown-up movie that I went to as a child.
Yeah.
That it wasn't a Disney, you know, whatever, some cartoonish thing. And The Shootist, for those that don't know, that was John Wayne's last movie of his career.
Yeah.
1976. It was the last film of his career. Ironically enough, the storyline was about an aging gunfighter who discovers he's dying of cancer.
And he found out during, like, the physical for that movie. Is that when he found out that he had cancer?
No, actually, interestingly enough, he was not diagnosed with cancer before or during the movie. Wayne had battled lung cancer. He had a lung removed in 1965.
Okay.
To lung cancer. He lost most of his left lung to cancer in 1965 while they were in pre-production for The Sons of Katie Elder. They actually halted production on The Sons of Katie Elder so that Wayne could have surgery and recover. And I think after like eight weeks after the surgery, I think he was back on set filming.
But am I correct that they found out, the way he found out he had cancer was doing a physical for a movie? Because all these people don't realize when actors and actresses start up for these movies, they have to have pretty extensive physicals.
Yeah.
Because you think about it, the movie company is going to invest a lot of money.
Well, John Wayne, he would have been in his late 60s when he shot that movie, The Shootist. And he died in June of 79, and I think he was diagnosed with stomach cancer in 78.
Right. It metastasized.
Yes. It was actually really stomach cancer that got him. I think it spread to his pancreas and other stuff. But he had battled cancer, and the story was in the 60s. You know, hey, John Wayne beat cancer. He did it. He beat it, and went on to make lots more movies. But he was actually, as I understand it, he was actually slated to make at least a couple more movies after The Shootist. But then he got the cancer diagnosis.
Yeah, he's going to be in Star Wars, that's what I heard.
Yeah. Oh, could you see John Wayne as Darth Vader?
Yeah. Hey, kid, I'm your father.
I'm your father, Luke. And you there, Pilgrim, you better get back with that lightsaber.
Well, speaking of cancer,
that kind of thing.
Hospice of Wichita Falls has named its new inpatient facility the Philbrin Prothro Inpatient Care Center, and it's from a very generous donation from the Perkins Prothro Foundation, which is one of the this is one place that I believe is really a blessing for Wichita Falls.
Yeah,
we have a number of families, and most of them go back to, we spoke about this in our last pod, was oil.
Yes,
a lot of it was based on oil money, and this is old oil money where people have saved and they've made a large sum of money. They've made investments,
yes,
and they've been philanthropists,
yes,
and given back so much to the community. The West Foundation is one, but the Perkins Prothro Foundation, which are the Perkins family and the Prothro family, were both very wealthy families.
Yes,
they came together. You know, the Dillard family is here in town, and they've done a whole lot as well. So we have these great families who have become very wealthy and have given back. And the Perkins Prothro Foundation is one of those families. And so we're blessed in Wichita Falls to have these families who are great philanthropists that help our community.
Yeah, we do. And it's that philanthropy, that money has done so much, has built so much, has been responsible for so much in the community over the years. And we talked about Midwestern State University last time also. Look at how much that campus has developed through some of that.
Oh yeah, the foundations.
You know the Perkins and the Prothros and the Bolins and others that have committed money to growing that university and growing the academic spread of Midwestern State University over the years. It's really helped a lot. The one thing, totally different subject here, but one of the things about MSU, not just the lack of community relationship with the city of Wichita Falls itself. One of the other things that's always bugged me about this is that a university that large does not have its own athletic facility, its own football stadium. And I personally, and Trey disagrees with me on this, I know.
Yeah, we're not going to agree on it.
I personally believe they need one. I think it would be very beneficial to them as a university to have that. The football program at Midwestern didn't exist for 30 years, from 57 to 87. They didn't have a football program.
That's right.
They brought it back in 1987, and me and several family members were at that game. And, I mean, we had, I don't know what the capacity of Memorial Stadium is, 15,000, 16,000 people, but it was jam-packed with people for that inaugural game in 1987. And the excitement around that was incredible, and then it just went downhill.
Here's where something we do agree on, do agree with, but I don't think necessarily think it's worth it. I agree with you that Midwestern State University would benefit from having its own football stadium. I agree mm-hmm. that would be possible, but at what cost? I don't mm-hmm. think the cost was worth it when you have a perfectly good stadium that has been majorly upgraded here
well,
in town.
And I don't think they need a stadium that big. They don't need 15,000 seats. They need about 6,500, 7,000 seats. They need a smaller facility, but one that allows them to do more than they are capable and allowed to do on a school district property.
Yeah. But what cost though? That's the thing. Mm-hmm. If you spend $75 million, what's your ROI? As opposed to having something that's already there that you don't spend nearly a whole lot of money to use.
Well, I'll take this approach. So there's the big controversy right now with Wichita Falls ISD, if you want to call it a controversy, is they're installing new scoreboards. And these scoreboards are going to cost, $400,000 or $500,000. These are not just scoreboards. These are video boards.
Oh yeah, they're nice.
These are really, we're talking high end, high tech, very very, the kind of technology you would see at a high school facility in the Dallas-Fort Worth area or somewhere like that.
Yes.
We're talking really nice tech, and it's all being paid for with corporate sponsorship dollars. There are corporate sponsors, and I'm guessing multiple corporate sponsors.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would imagine with that price tag, there's probably at least two and maybe three that are kicking in together. Yes, they'll have their names, on the stadium, on the boards, whatever.
Yeah, Hydra Media Solutions, MacTech Solutions. Yeah,
and yeah.
I have a little flip card. I get a little flip card in the
in a corner, right there.
Yeah,
almost in the center, but not quite.
You get to sponsor the toilet.
Yeah,
just one, not the whole bathroom, just the toilet.
See, that would be me, and I wouldn't even get the whole damn bathroom. I get a urinal.
That's what I was saying. Just the toilet. Yeah.
Do they still have the trough in the bathroom?
No. Okay, I was on the school board when we took care of those.
Okay, all right. Got rid of the troughs.
Yes.
All right, but I probably would just get a urinal. But anyway, this is being paid for with corporate dollars, so no tax dollars are being spent on these scoreboards. But yet everybody's blowing up, oh my God, they're going to hit us with another tax increase because of these scoreboards.
Well, not everybody, just stupid people.
Well, okay,
let's be fair.
Seriously,
yeah. People that are stupid because they have more time than they have sense. Pick up the phone and find out.
They're not educating themselves on what's happening here.
Yeah, they're just getting outraged. By the way, let me little editorial here. Before you decide to get outraged about something, make sure you're right about it.
Yeah.
Make sure you have your facts straight. Well, and by the way, if you have your facts straight and then you choose to get outraged, that's fine because you have the right to do that. But just don't be stupid about it. Don't blow off at the mouth. And be outraged about this, that, and the other when you have your facts straight.
And people, I think people do tend to. It's so easy to get angry about things that you don't understand. It's so easy to get angry about things that you've not educated yourself on. It's so easy to get angry about things that you don't have all the facts on, because you can just jump to some wild assumption or wild conclusion about it, and it's really easy to get angry about it. And I think it's. Unfortunately, I think it's something that's been a part of human nature forever.
Yeah. Well, I think the internet's made it worse.
Well, the internet has magnified
media,
it.
Right. The social media and everybody having a computer in their hand constantly and can pop off. This has made it 10 times worse.
Well, all of a sudden, everybody can be an armchair quarterback.
Yeah.
Right, but isn't that rather ironic that, yes, it's made it worse, but yet their information they need is right there.
That's true. That's even funnier.
That's the irony.
On that note, though, an example of this is when you go and gripe at the mayor or the city council about what the school district is doing.
Oh, yeah. That's another
thing.
Zero.
Right. There's
zero
no connection.
To do it. And by the way, same way, because when I was on the school board, when they complain about what the city does. Yeah. Zero.
Yeah.
Nothing.
They're two different entities, and the money comes from different sources.
Right.
I mean, yes, you have property taxes the city applies or assesses, but the school district is also a body that can assess taxes.
Well,
so.
Within your county,
you've got three distinct taxing entities. You have your county, you have your individual cities and towns, and the individual school districts.
Right.
And they all have separate budgets. because legally they have to. Yeah. It is actually, again, it would be highly illegal for the Wichita Falls ISD to take ISD tax dollars and go pave the road in front of your house. Right. That don't happen.
You can coordinate, right? You can say, well, we'll split the difference,
there is some coordination at times on certain projects, but it's not paving the road in front of your house.
Okay.
But paving in front of a school, like when the zoo schools are done, right. Sometimes there'll be some coordination on those sort of things. But it is not, it's very rare.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, the bottom line is that understand the process, and then once you have that process down, then you can speak intelligently.
Those budgets are not intertwined.
Like an idiot.
Yes, exactly.
Because you're not an idiot. Most people are not. They just don't have time. And I think they just jump, like you're talking about, they react on something rather than actually.
You're ignorant. Right. In the pure sense of the word, ignorant. When somebody says you're ignorant, it doesn't mean you're stupid or you lack intelligence. It's lacking specific, was a definition of something along the lines of lacking specific knowledge on a particular subject.
Right, and that's true. But yet, people still use it as a derogatory term. You're ignorant.
But you're ignorant to the facts. You're ignorant to that particular
confident
subject.
Confident when you're ignorant, I guess. don't take offense.
But back to my original point, if you can have a $500,000 scoreboard sponsored and paid for, MSU could find corporate sponsorship to pay for most of a new stadium.
Yeah. It's possible. They haven't been able to.
Haven't been able to, but I wonder if they've had leadership that's really been invested in doing that.
They've tried over the years. I don't know. I don't know if it's the right people. I'm not disputing what you're saying. I'm simply saying, as of now, there's been a group of people who have been trying to get a stadium at Midwestern State University for 2 decades.
Well,
and nobody's been able to get it done.
I do think a major change it's been a few years now. Well, 3 or 4. But now MSU is part of the Texas Tech system.
And that may change.
And so I think that's a game-changing...
It might change the scoreboard.
Oh, okay.
That, I think, is a game-changing element for MSU, no pun intended, is being part of the Texas Tech system. Now they are part of a very large, very well-established collegiate system.
Very well funded, too.
And very well funded, that might be able to get some things done that were not feasible, not necessarily impossible, but just not totally feasible before this happened.
Yes.
So that may be a game changer in that way for MSU. We shall see.
Hey, real quick, before we, because we're getting run low on time here, because this is pretty timely, did either one of you guys see, is it Fonnie or Fannie Willis?
Oh, Fannie Willis.
Is it Fannie or Fonnie?
I think it's Fannie.
What, F-A-N-I Willis, whatever you want to say, the lady who is the district attorney in Fulton County, Georgia, who's in charge of this, bringing this case against Donald Trump on election interference.
Yeah.
And things blowed up for her.
Big time.
Big time.
Big time.
So you want to set the stage? You want me to, Mike?
You go ahead.
Okay.
You're on it. Do it.
So Fannie Willis, whatever her name is, Mrs. Willis.
Yeah.
What you talking about, Willis? She apparently is she's a Fulton County DA. And I believe she ran on the fact that she was going to get Trump, almost like the Letitia James up in New York.
Yeah.
So she brings these charges for the election interference, and there's a lot of legal experts that said that this actually, of all the cases that are brought against Trump, there was some liability here. He had some. At least it was the most dangerous for him. Not that it was going to happen, but something bad was going to happen. So she hired a guy to come in, who was a personal injury attorney, to prosecute one of the largest cases in U.S. history, a case against a former president. Mm-hmm. The guy's a personal injury lawyer. He's not a prosecutor, not a special counsel, not a formal federal judge or any of that sort of thing, right?
Mm.
Well, then it turns out that she and this guy are sleeping together.
Yeah.
And so they're having an affair. He files for divorce from his wife, right after... He gets hired, and now he and Miss Willis are taking trips. I think 4 trips. There was Aruba, Jamaica, Virgin Islands, and maybe Napa Valley, taking trips. So the from the legal side, the people that are coming after her are saying, wait a minute, you're benefiting indirectly from the from taxpayer money, because taxpayer money has paid this guy like $650,000,
mm-hmm.
and then she's taking trips.
Yeah,
her defense to that is she paid her part of the trips, but she paid it all in cash because she keeps cash laying around her house.
Uh-huh.
And did you guys see this, her on the stands?
I saw some part of it, but I didn't have time to go and look
into it. Oh, she was, all I saw was the highlights or the lowlights.
Yeah.
She was combative. Mm-hmm. She was disrespectful. At one time, she's holding something and saying, you're lying. If you get a chance, go back and look at her testimony.
Yeah.
She blew up. She walked in that courtroom with attitude from the beginning. She took the stand. And one of the funniest things she said is, I'm not on trial here. And it's like, well, I don't know that you're not on trial, but aren't you, if you're in a witness box giving testimony, aren't you in what you say on trial or part of the trial? What do you want to call as on trial?
Well,
are you being charged with something? No.
No.
But if you're in a witness box and you're sworn in to see your statement, mm-hmm. you might not be on trial, but you're damn sure part of the trial. Is that correct?
You are definitely a component of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your testimony is a component of it. And your testimony better be truthful, because she should know. Perjury is a crime. Don't perjure yourself. And she's part of her defiance is born almost solely out of the fact that her attitude is, I'm the one that's going after Trump. Don't you know? You can't touch me.
Right.
You can't attack me this way. I'm the one who's going to take down Trump. I think that's where some of that attitude's coming from.
I think you're right. Nathan Wade, by the way, is the guy who was going to be the prosecutor, and he looked stunned he looked like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
On the stand.
Yeah.
And but anyhow.
Well, don't you think that some of what's at work here is the feeling among some of these people is that there's such a deep hatred for Donald Trump that no matter what they say, no matter what they do, they could get away with it.
Well,
because the hatred for Trump should be greater than any attention they may garner, anything they're doing that might be shady or unsavory in any way, shape, or form.
Well, I think part of it is, and that's why they keep trying to equate Trump with Hitler, is because I think the thought is, if you had an opportunity to take Hitler down before he became what we know as Adolf Hitler,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't you do it at any cost? Well, the fact of the matter is, Donald Trump has been in the public view for so many years, mm-hmm. and by the way, he was a president for 4 years. Did he incarcerate? Are there any stories of people being incarcerated unfairly or shut down unfairly?
Politically speaking.
Anything at all.
Right, but they charged him for...
Murder.
Accused him of kids coming from the border, but it wasn't him. It was, it was Obama.
But what I'm saying is, there is not one case or one complaint that I've heard of that somebody was jailed
right.
by under Donald Trump's direction for any sort of political reason at all.
But they're all after him, man. I mean, multiple times. I mean, gosh, they just keep...
he keeps getting stronger.
Well, yep. you look at the ruling. Was it New York here recently?
Yeah, New York.
Fined well over $300 million and not able to conduct business in New York. Don Jr. and Eric will not be able to conduct business in New York for several years. I mean, and I'll tell you what I think is probably going to happen, and I would not be a bit surprised if it happens. Is I can see the Trump family just saying, you know what, New York, if that's how you feel about it, screw you, we're leaving, and pack their bags and sell off everything and just leave and just never build another thing in New York again, never develop another thing in New York again.
I don't know if they will or won't, because part of it is I don't know that they would. You almost think that you would, just like, when I'm tired of this mess. But by the same token, he's a fighter and wants to show you you're not going to run me out. But I'll tell you something that was pretty interesting. Kevin O'Leary, and if you don't know who that is, he's a investor.
Shark Tank.
From Shark Tank.
Yep.
Yeah, he's one of the original, or one of the very early Shark mm-hmm. Tank people. I don't know if he was on mm-hmm. the very first one or not, but he was one of the very early ones.
Yep.
He's invested millions and millions and millions of dollars in these companies. He's a multi-millionaire, and he made a statement. And I don't know what Kevin O'Leary's politics are. But he made a statement how detrimental this is to New York.
Oh, yeah.
Because from an investor standpoint, if you know that somebody can arbitrarily come up and get and hit you with some fine, because that's the, that's the thing. This is an arbitrary number.
Right.
It's just a number that's pulled out of the judge's ass. I mean, there's no
right
basis for
it. And you've also taken a competitor out of the market. Now, if he can't, if his money cannot be invested more in that, you've hurt New York.
Yeah.
You've hurt
the
economy, really, because you've taken a competitor out who, I mean, how many people, I mean, as far as that kind of money, how many are in New York investing that way? There are probably a number of them, but But still, that's a significant. You know.
It's a small part of the population. And then, how many people does the Trump organization
employ
in New York? Yeah. I mean, what's the economic impact?
Yeah.
And when you have something like that, it makes no sense. And by the way, where does the money go? Because the fact of the matter is, there's no bank that says that they were wrong. There's no insurance company that says they were wronged. So where does the money go? So does the state get it? Does the city of New York get it?
Good question.
Does the judge get it? I mean, seriously, where does this money go? That's a big question. Is where does the money go and why?
Exactly. Yeah. What is happening?
Yeah.
What is happening? Well, all right, guys. I guess we better wrap this one up. Once again, thank you for joining us for Get It Right Texoma, our podcast. Of course, you can see it on YouTube if you're watching us. Obviously, you're watching on YouTube, but you can also get it on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and other places as well. Be looking for us around. We want to hear your comments. We want your feedback. And be sure and like and share it with all your friends out there. Please do. We'll see you next time with more Get It Right Texoma with Mike, Carrie, and Trey. Take care until next time.